With the 2019 regional and local Spanish elections on May 26th, Mayor Ada Colau is up for re-election in Barcelona. Colau is part of a platform and movement called Barcelona en Comú. Barcelona en Comú formed in 2014 when activists and citizens from many social movements converged to enter electoral politics. One focus of their platform is affordable housing and a protest of the commodification of common spaces more widely. In 2014, thousands of people took to the streets of Barcelona to protest Airbnb. In 2018, 4 years after the initial protests, with Barcelona en Comú represented in city council and with Ada Colau as mayor, the city ordered Airbnb to remove over 2,500 listings that it found to be operating without a city-approved license. In cities all over the world, renters are being pushed out of neighborhoods because landlords and homeowners can make more money temporarily renting out their spaces to tourists through services like Airbnb. What can be learned from the Barcelona example? What strategies do we use to re-articulate that the city is a shared space for living and not for speculative and extractive economics? Barcelona en Comú is a part of a network of municipalist movements that call themselves Fearless Cities. Today, on the Laura Flanders Show, we will hear from people building these fearless institutions and movements.
How does or can municipalism connect or forward decolonizing strategies and goals?
The question is, what do I do? And I fight the government. That's what I do. To me, that's municipalism, right? Okay, now we have the person we want and the party we want in office, but how do we ensure that they actually are accountable to us?
And I think the most important challenge is how to co-produce these public policies.
So how do we get folks involved, our own people, to try and capture spaces which are actually being abandoned by the state and being abandoned to a certain extent by capital?
How do we define municipalism? This first step seems fundamental for a strong movement.
These are just some of the questions posed and worked through by panelists and audience members at the 2018 Fearless Cities North American Conference held in New York City in July of 2018. The Laura Flanders Show caught up with a few of the panelists assembled at the Fearless Cities Confluence, including Gala Pin of Barcelona en Comú, Kali Acuno of Operation Jackson, based in Jackson, Mississippi, Rodrigo Conejo of Wikipolitica, based in Jalisco, Mexico, and Debbie Bookchin, author and activist, based in New York. In this podcast, they'll share their experience building municipalist networks in their respective territories. So what is municipalism? To lay out the groundwork, here's Debbie Bookchin, who co-edited The Next Revolution, Popular Assemblies and the Promise of Direct Democracy, a book of essays on municipalism by her father, social theorist Murray Bookchin.
I think it's more important than ever that we understand municipalism not just as a mechanism for voting into office sympathetic candidates at the local level or winning local elections, but rather as a process in which we redefine the very notion of politics and make it about empowering every member of the community to be an active participant in political life. I mean, especially sort of given not only the fact that we are on the verge of ecocide at this point, but just the steady eradication of basic human rights, you know, as nation states become increasingly centralized and autocratic and kleptocratic. We really need to build a politics together with our neighbors in community assemblies. It's got to be a politics that is decentralized, horizontal, and non-hierarchical. This dovetails very much with what some have called the feminization of politics. What I like to think of is grounding our political practice on a philosophical ethics. So the roots of the ecological and political crisis that we face today stem from an ethos of exploitation that's not merely economic, but that's based on domination of every sort. And I really think this ethos of domination is the bedrock of capitalism. And very importantly, these hierarchies are enforced by nation states. My father, Murray Bookchin wrote about this many years ago and said, the nation state makes us less than human. It towers above us, it cajoles us, disempowers us, bilks us of our substance, humiliates us, and often kills us in its imperialist adventures. We are the nation state's victims, not its constituents. So the counter power to the nation state really is the municipality, where the state alienates people from their democratic potential. Municipal politics gives agency back to individuals and local communities in the form of assembly democracy. It bears repeating that direct democracy is very, very different from representative democracy. It gives people in the social movements power in the civic arena. It turns every neighborhood into a public forum where people can meet and talk and decide and implement decisions that are most meaningful to them.
In 2015, political activist Pedro Kumamoto became the first independent candidate to win a seat in the Congress of Jalisco, Mexico. Prior to 2014, candidates were not permitted to run without a party affiliation. Pedro's election was supported by a social movement that united municipalities in Mexico to build more horizontal and crowdsourced political platforms. That network, formed in 2011, is Wikipolitica. Indigenous social movements in Mexico have long been points of inspiration for people interested in building people power outside electoral politics. The Zapatistas and the Purépecha movement in the autonomous region of Chirán are a couple examples. After hearing from our next guest, you will see where there are parallels between the organizing methods of Wikipolitica and the Zapatista ethos of asking questions as we walk. Here's political activist Rodrigo Cornejo, Wikipolitica member who oversaw accounting and internal transparency during Pedro Kumamoto's congressional race.
To answer the question of what Wikipolitica is, Wikipolitica, it has the wiki prefix in it, which means without hindrances, fast, accessible, if you will. That's why Wikipedia is also named as such. And the spirit of that method is to sink participation costs to a minimum. That means to make it easy for people that perhaps don't have a lot of time to participate, to teach people that don't know how to participate politically how to do so, and to collectively educate and empower communities to do something very specific. It's a movement that's locally based. It began as a loose organization of volunteers that wanted to do two things. One was to have a part of the organization influence non-institutional politics, but the second part was that we openly said that we wanted to influence institutional politics and that we wanted to run for office. And that's something that social movements in Mexico have historically shied away from. 1968, for instance, the ripples of 1968 in Mexico began to fade away when some of the leaders from that movement were seen as sellouts because they started cooperating with the government or taking government posts. So we acknowledged that and we broke that taboo, so to speak. And nowadays, more than being just a loose network of volunteers, we are a network of 8 cities in Mexico that organizes in this way. We call our groups nodes, mimicking the language of a software architecture. So what we do is have a decentralized network that takes that makes decisions in the most collective way possible. We started Pedro's campaign in very subtle ways that weren't specifically devised to run for office, sort of like to run a diagnostic of what was happening in our city and in our district. And we didn't even have a candidate when we started working, which is sort of like beginning upside down, if you will. We started doing community organizing to fill a void that there was. Loose groups of neighbors were trying to lobby and pressure local governments and their congressmen to fix very specific municipal problems.
Cooperation Jackson is a broad and deep network formed in 2014 to support economic democracy in Jackson, Mississippi. It is about building and exercising dual power, to hold the government accountable to the social contract by engaging critically in electoral politics, and also self-organizing through people's assemblies and through building a solidarity economy to realize the things the government won't do. Kali Akuno is co-founder and co-director of Cooperation Jackson. He served as the director of special projects and external funding in Chokwe Lumumba's mayoral administration in 2015.
Cooperation Jackson, it's a four-year-old child in many respects. It's the outcome of a strategy called the Jackson-Cush Plan. And that strategy has kind of three fundamental components around transforming our locality, our territory, which is Jackson, Mississippi. So there's the People's Assembly with the express purpose of building that over time to become an instrument of dual power. There's the independent electoral politics. So not always fully rejecting the existing parties, but running on an independent basis, an independent platform and program, drawn from the People's Assembly and drawn from the strategy. And then there's building up a new transformative economy, build an economic base to support this. And that is where Cooperation Jackson fits in. It's a child born to help develop and anchor the solidarity economy work in Jackson, Mississippi. So that's kind of our overall framework that really tries to address one of the fundamental weaknesses of a lot of the black social movements in this country, which is having our own independent economic resources and base to be able to pull from so that, we're not subject to reprisals on the economic front. So we're trying to deliberately break that type of structural dependency that we have. And that's kind of the key kind of component of what Cooperation Jackson is trying to do. And we really do it through two kind of main activities. So one is a particular focus on developing a community land trust as a means of really kind of number one, decommodifying land to change both land and housing relationships in our city in the long term. And the other one is building cooperative enterprises, right? And to do so in a manner which for us is about attaining a certain level, first of food security, but eventually food sovereignty.
As Kali Akuno notes, Cooperation Jackson emerged in 2014 from the Jackson-Cush Plan. Cush refers to the Cush District, comprised of 18 contiguous black majority counties that span both sides of the lower Mississippi River. This is a region with a legacy of chattel slavery, connected to cotton and sugar plantations. Currently, a quarter of the black population in Jackson lives at or below the poverty line. It does not take an economist to connect those dots. The Jackson-Cush Plan and Cooperation Jackson, along with the election of Chokwe Lumumba, the first ever black mayor of Jackson, are built on over 50 years of community organizing. In 2016, the state of Mississippi, led by conservative mayor Phil Bryant, attempted to transfer ownership of the Jackson Medgar Wiley Evers International Airport from municipally run into state hands. This was seen as a political move to restrict the economic autonomy of the city of Jackson. The airport debate is an example of the kinds of conflict that Cooperation Jackson is strategizing on and mobilizing around both within and outside of electoral politics. Kali Akuno explains.
So this question of conflict mediation is becoming a more central one. And we're finding that the tools that we had to resolve conflicts within the People's Assembly and within our political organizations are not fully equipped to deal with the conflicts between the social movement and the government. There are some interests, particularly the interests of capital, which I do think are irreconcilable with the interests of, the working class. And there we have to figure out how do we strengthen the conflicts within the class to be able to mount a greater deal of pressure to create a different type of conflict and a different level of change when we confront capital's control over our life. Trying to adapt the tools of restorative justice. That's in particular what I was talking about. We've applied that internally, but it doesn't necessarily translate with some of the conflicts with the government. To give a concrete example, there's a way in which we have to learn how to struggle with the very laws and the imposition of those laws and not necessarily demonize or castigate the individuals who are bound by sitting in those seats to abide by those laws, even when they know that some of those laws are wrong. So it's the question of how do we struggle to transform the laws and then also struggle with the person who's there
to give them the greater strength and agency, both as an individual, but also as a servant of the movement, to be able to maybe take some risk and say, I'm not actually going to apply this, which means I put myself in personal jeopardy of being in violation of some federal law or some state law, which may result in them individually being prosecuted. There are some specific examples in our case, like not following through with ICE. So it's like, how do we put that bridge and create that kind of opening of conflict resolution when someone who we know has those politics, but who's sitting in position and say, hey, my hands are tied, I can't really do anything about this. And where is the movement, you know, strength and the adjustment of how do we push that person further to be able to take that next step? For me, that's been so interesting. It was one of the earlier questions around going to Europe. One of the reasons for me personally, I've been trying to gain more experience from some of the examples in Europe, like how are they actually contesting against all the neoliberal laws that were created? How do you work around that in the context of municipal government? How are you changing the laws, changing the application, changing the procurement policies, changing the zoning policies? How are people figuring that out, you know, given the restrictions that have been put in place the last 30 or 40 years within the law itself to make the state a much more anti-democratic and a far less responsive entity than it was even 40, 50 years ago?
As Kali points out, municipalism operates both locally and globally. In order for localities to regulate multinational companies like Airbnb and Uber, there also needs to be a global municipalist network. This is the work of Fearless Cities. Next, we hear from Gala Pin, who has been a part of the neighborhood movement against evictions and predatory tourism in Barcelona. She also holds a seat on the Barcelona City Council as a member of Barcelona en Comú.
What Fearless City means to me is we're not afraid of you. First of all, it's this, no? Like saying, okay, maybe you have the power, or you had the power until now, but now things have changed. Calling these big companies by their names, it's not like they're companies, it's like saying, these are the ones with their names and their surnames. We have confronted different, like, big companies trying to kick out residents from our neighborhoods, or the big water company from Barcelona that they're, like, very corrupt. We're confronting them. We have, like, a big battle about remunicipalizing water right now. In a big, diverse community where you lost your fear and you are able also to confront situations that you wouldn't do it in an individual level. And we have learned that from the housing rights movement, no? How to people that would never have thought about it, they stand up in front of their homes saying, I won't be evicted. And that means I have a community that helps me and that gives me the power to say, until now, until here.
You've been listening to a few examples of municipalism explored at the 2018 Fearless Cities Conference that took place in New York. You can find more about the work of Fearless Cities and the people who are putting these ideas into action, as well as additional research material, by going to patreon.com/theLF Show. That's patreon.com/theLF Show.